Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration on this observation of Reformation Day are found in Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5. He writes there, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from this dying world that is filled with sin for yourself. Make us holy by your word. Purify us in heart and mind and soul. We pray that you would strengthen us through these words today and open our hearts so that we may hear them and rejoice in the freedom that you have won for us with your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, if you were to die tonight, do you think you would go to heaven? Let me ask this question another way. Are you sure that you're going to go to heaven? Today we commemorate the day that Martin Luther posted 95 statements for debate on the church door in Wittenberg. It was really the town bulletin board. He had lived his life scared to death of not going to heaven. Eventually, he became a monk so that he could do a better job of following all the rules. But the harder he tried, the less sure he became that he would ever make it to heaven. God led Martin Luther back to his word, back to certainty. And there he found what he was so desperately searching for, certainty of his salvation. And he finally knew for sure that he would go to heaven, and he wanted others to know that they had that freedom in Christ too. Are you sure that you're going to heaven? God wants you to be certain. He wants you to have certainty, especially in these uncertain times that we find ourselves in. So again, how can you be sure that you're going to heaven? There are really only two possible answers to this question when you think about it. We can say, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because I follow the rules. Or we can say, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because Christ has me in tow. Now, in Paul's day, some of the new Jewish converts in Galatia thought they would go to heaven on account of that first way. They thought they had that sure way to heaven. They told themselves, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus and I follow the rules. The laws given to the people of Israel. And one of the biggest rules that had been given to Israel for the sake of prefiguring their Savior was the rule that their males should be circumcised in every household. Now, these Judaizers, they were called, these Jewish converts, they wanted everyone else to follow these rules as well. And that's what was happening. That's the context of what Paul was writing about in his letter to the Galatians. After he had left the province, the Judaizers began to convince many people that the only sure way to heaven was Jesus plus. Jesus plus the rules. Follow the rules, especially this one about circumcising the males of every household. Since then, many other religious movements throughout history have tried to convince people that the only sure way to heaven is by following the rules. The Church of Luther's day had its foundations on the idea that you have to repent and repay God for your sins, in a sense. Make penance for them. If you commit a sin, you have to confess your sin in a particular way that was dictated by tradition, and then you had to do something to make up for that sin in a sense, to pay off in an earthly way some of the problems that you'd face later in purgatory. Except there was no such thing in the scriptures. And then those penances would be things like saying the Lord's Prayer a certain number of times. And for every sin that you confess, you have to do this penance. This eventually led Martin Luther to want to become a monk because it supposedly gave you a religious life that would give you time to do this for every sin and give you the opportunity to do things that would help you earn favor with God by following the rules more closely. How about you and me? Are we sure that we're going to heaven because we follow the rules? Do you think God should show favor to us because we're good Christians? Do you pay attention to God's command to go to church regularly? Maybe you go to Bible class. Perhaps you serve on a board or a committee in our church or clean the church or give regular generous offerings. All wonderful efforts on our part. You pray before you eat. You pray before you go to bed. You follow the rules. Of course you're going to heaven, right? It's easy to think that. But if we're honest with ourselves, do we not end up doing as the rich man did when he came to Jesus and Jesus told him to give away everything and follow him? And the rich man went away sorrowful after that encounter with the Savior. His heart was not in the right place. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself? Or do you find yourself like the teacher of the law, looking for loopholes to justify yourself with, or maybe figuring out a way to not look at something in your life, just ignore the failing? That's our natural sinful inclination. And that's why following the rules is not a sure way to heaven. It's a sure way to a kind of slavery where we're always looking over our shoulders, wondering what we've done and how that's going to affect things in the future. Paul says to the people of Galatia, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Paul is making two points here. First of all, if you want to get to heaven by following the rules, you have to follow them perfectly. God says, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." The only way you can get to heaven this way is by being holy, being completely set apart for God. For the Judaizers, that didn't mean just getting circumcised, but doing everything demanded in the law of Moses. For you, that doesn't just mean coming to church on Sunday and helping out once in a while the rest of the week. It means being perfect. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think must be perfect in God's sight. But you know as well as I do, there have been those moments when we've been impatient, when we've said angry words to people who are bugging us. I don't know, these days maybe something about politics or something on Facebook, I'm just saying. Think of the shameful thoughts that we've kept hidden in our hearts and the selfish priorities that we've had with our money and our time. We have done these things, we've thought these things, we've spoken these words, we haven't been perfect. The second point that Paul makes is if you want to get to heaven by following the rules, then Christ is worthless to you. You've been alienated from him. To follow the rules means that you're going it on your own. It means that you don't need Jesus. It means that you're responsible for your salvation because Jesus never failed to do what he came to do. So if it depends even a little bit on what you have to do, then it actually depends all on what you're doing, on your perfection. Try to earn God's favor by following the rules, then you better do it perfectly. Because if you fall short, you can't ask God to make up the rest. That's taking what he's been willing to give you for free and throwing it back in his face and saying, your cross wasn't enough. Here, see, look at me and what I do. Can we really be sure that we are heavenward bound because we follow the rules? Well, theoretically, but the problem is I can't follow all the rules. I never have been able to do that. I can't do it on my own. Not even close. Nonetheless, I am sure, and I hope you are too, that you are going to heaven, not because of what you've done, but because Christ has you in tow. Rather than going by what other sinful human beings have come up with over the years about how to get to heaven, we hear from God himself this answer. He says that he has declared us perfect in his sight, and he will make us perfect through his son, Jesus. What he's saying is that we follow Jesus, but not like a person following the rules. We follow like a wrecked car follows a tow truck. We have no power, no ability ourselves, but he's laid hold of us in our baptisms. He's connected us to himself so that following behind him is a sure way through death to life eternal, to freedom. Remember what he did. God sent his son to keep all the rules, every last one, perfectly in our place. God never said that he would overlook the rules for anyone, that he would forget about the laws that he gave, or that he'd sweep our sins under the rug. God is just. He demands perfection, but he's also gracious. And so he provides that protection, that perfection for us. He came down from heaven to keep the rules for us in our place. Jesus lived under the authority of his parents and of his government and of his God. And when he lived here on this earth, he never failed to keep every last bit of God's law. He did that for you and for me. He made this exchange, the best exchange known to man, as only God can. Jesus took our sins, our disobedience, our terrible thoughts, our failures to follow the rules, and he covered us with his perfection, his righteousness. Jesus paid the penalty for us when he died on the cross, and as a result, God forgives you your sins. In his sight, he has declared that you are perfect for Jesus' sake. Therefore, you should be absolutely sure that you are going to heaven. You can say with complete confidence, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because Christ has me in tow. Paul said it this way, but by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Paul and all the believers since and before, we eagerly await the righteousness for which we hope. Now that hope for righteousness is not just a wishful thinking, but rather that hope is faith. The faith by which we trust God's promise and are sure, because of what God has said, that we are heavenward bound. That hope, that certainty, that's what gives us freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that freedom is being able to say, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Paul also encourages us, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This sin-filled world, even our sinful hearts, would rob us of this freedom. It would turn us away from believing what God has so plainly said to us. Jesus told his disciples, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over. They will flog you. All men will hate you because of me. No, you stand firm. Stand firm in these unchanging words of God. Be grateful to him. Seek to do his will, not to try to get to heaven. You're already a citizen of heaven. But give thanks to him with your life. Live every day confident in his grace, so that if today is your last one here on earth, then you know where you will awake tomorrow, in heaven, in eternal life. Stand firm with the believers of old. Stand firm with believers like Martin Luther, who refused to let anyone take away his certainty. Boldly tell of the reason for the hope that you have in Christ. Let them hear you saying, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because Christ has me in tow. I follow him. To him alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.